Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Come on!
It's Running Commentary. Hello!
Everyone splashing through the mud in the marshes.
Soft surfaces.
Soft surfaces. Taper. Yeah. A few days before the marathon for
Rob. We just had an open-ended discussion about whether we're going to run beyond Hackney Marshes or not.
Yeah.
I think when we get to the end of the marsh,
we'll see.
We'll make a decision, won't we?
We'll make a decision, yeah. It's sort of down to you. Although I skipped a session yesterday. I was meant to go down the club on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I was just too tired.
Yeah.
I was really tired. I just thought, you know what, I'm tired now. I haven't quite recovered from the weekend.
Yeah.
I've just really thrashed myself out, so I just didn't.
Good decision.
I think
sometimes
so.
Sometimes you know.
It is, isn't it?
That's right.
I just felt really, really tired out.
Well, conversely, as I'm sure you know, I made it to Parkrun on Saturday.
Yes, you did. You did, and you had a bit of a corker by all accounts.
It was really good. I went to
Brighton.
So I'd had a look. I kind of planned, after not making it the weekend before, to the Town Moor one in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And, you know, them running 16 miles, so we're all right.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
A week out from the Yorkshire Marathon, I wanted to run a 25-mile week.
Yeah.
And I'd done enough running to not need to run to the parkrun or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't even walk to the parkrun, I took a bus down.
Nice, like it.
But I got up and made it down there, and I aimed for... There's three parkruns in Brighton. There's the Preston parkrun we've toured with Angela Barnes, though we didn't do it, we just went to the site of it.
Right.
There's one in Hove proper.
Yeah.
And there's Hove Promenade.
Right.
Which A, I know, B, I've run before, and C, it's flat out.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll get down there, and bumped into Joe Wilkinson, a lovely man and
very
top comedian.
Funny man, constantly on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And just a real laugh, isn't he? Just a proper old
laugh.
Yeah,
he's a funny guy. Yeah. In fact, I remember being at a gig with him years ago, and he, just such a laugh off him. Someone else was on and did, you know, one of their jokes. And honestly, he just got the giggles. He laughed about this one joke for the whole rest of the night.
He's funny.
He's a funny guy to be around. And he's an absolute stalwart of the Hove Prom Park Run. I think
right.
He knows all the regulars, does the volunteering and stuff. And then he's got bad knees, so
he can't run that fast.
He takes it slow and comes in. So that was quite fun to me and him having different experiences.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, and also I don't want to. This should be absolutely fine after last week. My stomach wasn't at its best over the weekend.
Right.
But you know, it was fine.
Right.
That story isn't going to develop in any ways. Not like last week, Paul.
Can I confirm I've arrived clean of pants and full of spirit?
Clean of pants. But were you full of spirit yesterday? That's the real question.
No, I'm all there. I feel a lot healthier. Thank you so much for the concern that I received.
The support. Thoughts and prayers.
So,
it's quite funny, actually. It shows... Because sometimes we can have self-control, because not saying you lacked self-control day, but it's on a kind of sliding scale, isn't it? Because I arrived at this park on a Saturday thinking, I might have to pop into the public convenience there. But then I saw Joe, so I chatted with him and his friends instead.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, if I have to stop running, I have to stop running. So Hove Prom Park Run is a two-lapper.
Right.
But they're not really laps because it's all completely on the prom.
Right.
So you start like at a midpoint and you go west for an eighth of it.
Yeah.
Come back past the start.
Yeah.
For the second eighth, then out east.
Yeah.
Then back to the start and then repeat that. So it's like...
Right.
And it's a really good system. It's so clear, it's so mathematical. You know, that it's like such a clear... There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know exactly how far you're going. You can see the people in front of you, the people behind you, how far you've come.
Yes.
You know, it's really...
nice and forensic. Flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Forensic, fast and flat.
Yeah. And, yeah. And I saw Joe in the distance. Oh, I set off right at the beginning. It was hard to know. It was quite a quiet speech off the top.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, go! And in one move, I was like, phone in the pocket, off down the thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I'm stuck in the pack here. And I overtook the person I was stuck behind. And then about 100, well, less than 100 metres in, I was thinking, oh, I'm going so fast.
Right.
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Ah! So that was great.
Initial part run panic.
That's right. And once I got there, I just had to hold on.
Yeah.
So, and then, that realisation about how there was nowhere to hide. It was quite late on. I think I was in the second lap.
Yeah.
And I felt like I'd
given... So you had fresh legs.
Totally fresh.
And you set off faster than you normally do.
Yes.
And you thought, I'm just going to battle to maintain this.
That's right. I definitely didn't maintain it, but I kept up a high speed.
A high
lick. And then the finish. There was a guy... It was a very... I know we always talk about this kind of thing, but a seriously non... competitive overtaking with this bloke. I think me and him were both pretty much flat out, so there was no real sense of responding to each other at all. But it just, I think he came past me, I went past him, he came past me,
right.
And we were both just finding our speed, This tall guy, and he, at the end of it, he was quite far ahead of me. I was never going to catch him up, but there wasn't anyone between us.
Right.
And that's the other nice thing about parkrun. It always opens out, doesn't it?
Yes.
You start from a pack.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's something in it, the way the pack spreads out into long skein. That's a lady with two dogs on the marshes. It's a lady and her dog trotting happily out into the marshes. And she's going, come on! Look, that is another completely similar dog standing out in the marshes going, no, go, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Don't you want to
go?
So where was I?
The finish, yeah.
So there he is, this bloke. And but what happened between then and him finishing and me finishing?
He fell over.
Nope.
Someone else came.
Teenager overtook me on the blooming line.
Bloody teens.
It's just bad manners, isn't it?
Bloody teens.
Well, why is that necessary in life?
Those teens have never done any formal training. I just sort of just popped up.
Yeah.
That was a good laugh, yeah.
Yeah, and just flashed in.
Yeah.
Why just get them? Yeah, just whatever policy we're going to make, I'm just going to have that.
Yeah, just bounce.
Let's take it off.
You like, past you like
it's like, it feels the same as if you were just about to bite into a burger and someone just grabbed it out of your hand and ate it. Oh. In so the last seconds, seconds.
Past you, yeah.
What am I going to do with that?
With these young, bouncy legs.
Although, it says it, just talking about that here on Hackney Marshes. Oh, echo. Talking about here on Hackney Marshes reminds me that I was once had that done to me by a man with a pushchair. So this wasn't the worst ever.
But you finished strong and your time was...
Yeah, well, I asked that guy, I said, what time were you in, the tall guy?
Yeah.
Because to give me a rough idea. And he said, I was like 20 minutes and 4 seconds.
Right.
I said, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
I knew I was way behind him. Anyway, it was 20 minutes 17.
Nice.
Which is...
That's great. Fastest time for a while.
Fastest time for about 5-6 months.
Yeah.
And the first time in months I've been in the...
The low 20s
age grading went up a percentage.
Yes, yeah.
Point. So I was 28th in a field of 321.
Right.
And the fastest in my age category.
Like it. Nice. Yeah. That's great.
Not bad at all.
And a nice little Philip pre
yeah, he was there.
Pre-marathon.
Lovely guy.
Yeah.
4'8".
Yeah.
Hi, Philip. Nice yeah, little, exactly. Nice just boost. Good for my confidence.
Yeah.
And also good for my accessing my stuff because I did give it some.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly feel like I tried to. I didn't feel while I was running it like I was running wildly hard.
Right.
I was trying to hang in there, but
yeah.
No one ever, you never do a parkrun without hanging in there to a certain extent,
no,
do you?
No, it always gets a bit tricky, doesn't it? It's deceptively difficult. Yeah.
It's great. And yeah. But I could tell I'd given it some because my calves
right.
have been telling me I've done it ever since.
They've been a bit stiff.
And that's a 3-mile run, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, almost stretching and everything. Yeah. My calves are kind of on the, it's like being on the edge of a cramp.
Right.
You know, it's kind of clenched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're telling you constantly.
And it just feels like I just ran straight out of them. And, you know, my bum aches a bit as well. So, and that's all off a parkrun. I always assume when you get aches and niggles, it's from distance. But sometimes it can really be from pace.
It's just the pace, yeah, the tempo. Well, that sounds good.
Good timing, yeah.
And then you did nothing on Sunday, just chilling.
Oh, the other thing about that, going back to Saturday morning, is Kipchoge did his marathon record during parkrun.
Yeah.
So I think it's the upside of everyone doing the parkrun was really excited about it, but also it made a mockery of every single person's achievement.
It's pretty, he's pretty swift, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's really swift.
Now, I could see how fast he was, because I was watching it live on BBC when I was getting ready to go out, and that's probably one of the reasons I went so fast.
He was inspiring, though, wasn't he? It's such an inspiring thing to see, and it's funny the range of reactions for people saying how utterly incredible it is, to people saying, yeah, but, you know, it's like following a light on the end of a car, and he's got the, as if it's just simple to follow
yeah,
a light.
I could have done it, yeah,
incredibly
right.
fast.
I think the fundamental one, people have really picked up that it's outside the rules. But the main thing is that there's no one who can run a whole thing and pace him at that kind of pace.
No, there isn't, no. And he's not outside the rules of biology and
no, it's him doing
gravity
that's
and
right.
what running is. He's still. It's not like he's doing something else.
Plus, within that, beating it by 20 seconds.
Yeah.
That seemed pretty massive to me.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, he ran 40 seconds faster than he did the last time.
Yeah.
It's the form that he runs with, isn't it? It's so incredible, isn't it? He looks so, I mean, he looked like he could have just kept going, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't
look
particularly tired, didn't he? He's got that way of masking extreme fatigue.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible form he's got.
Just
the economy of it, yeah.
The thing that made me realise how fast he was going was seeing a guy on the sidelines in Vienna. It was in Vienna, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And, so the camera's panning along next to him, and I saw this guy run to pull alongside. And the guy, he did it,
yeah.
But my goodness, he was running fast.
Absolutely legging it.
Just flailing, and then jumping over things, and then pulling it. It was like when Susie and Sophie were running along next to the...
Yes. it's like a cartoon character, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, 21 kilometres per hour. It's your absolute fastest, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I really hope that car in front of him was an electric car.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to do that with diesel pumping.
Yeah, no,
it.
No.
It's yeah, like you say, different people's reactions at the end of the park run. I was waiting around for Joe, and over in the distance, this woman, the news came in, and this woman went, yeah! And she was jumping up and down and waving her arm, and then this guy said to me, ooh, I mean, we were both like, oh, I was impressed too, but
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's his friend of his.
It really is, it's... It's a wild and incredible achievement.
Yep.
He's done so well there. It does beg a question vis-a-vis the Nike Vaporflies.
Yes.
Because it seems...
Well, again, like what you were saying about physically doing the thing, I don't really see how a pair of shoes, you know, can count as... can be questionable, can it? I mean, what is it about them?
Well, it seems
they've got little engines.
By all accounts, it seems to improve everyone's performance by
a significant margin.
Yeah, between 2-3%.
Yeah.
It's got some form of cushioning. I'm really interested. There'll be people out there who've got a pair.
And where can I get a pair by Sunday?
Well, if you've got 240 quid to spend, you can get them.
Well, my birthday's coming up, Paul.
They've got a way of... we'll have a little run called whip round. They've got a form of cushioning that by all accounts seems to propel you forward in a way that most trainers don't.
Yeah, I have the same thing with my sofa.
Yeah.
I often find myself face down in the middle of the living room carpet. I think that cushioning is just a little bit too propulsive.
But I mean, I'm usually quite sniffy about these things, but every clubmate who's got them has radically improved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that, it's like, it's almost like they're sort of criminally advantageous. But they're not, of course. So they're still within the rules, but they are being examined.
Also, the thing I keep thinking about is carrots.
Yeah.
Because I think it just seems so unlikely. I think everyone's holding a big secret, and they're putting out the secret that it's carrots, like the RAF in the Second World War, saying, oh yeah, we just give the pilots loads of carrots, that's how they see at night, because they didn't want anyone to know about radar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing about it is that you've got athletes who are contracted to wear Adidas.
Right.
And they are they're at a disadvantage.
Right.
Because they're offering a kind of uniform. Everyone improves, that's all we can say.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's great. I mean, that's what you want, isn't it?
You want a pair of shoes that helps you go faster.
A trainer that helps you go faster.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great, isn't it? But I suppose if you contractually can't use them, it's a bit of a downer.
Yeah, and also, you know, people are going to say, oh, it's cheating, but
I don't really see it as cheating.
But someone somewhere is, you know, like you said about
absolutely, yeah.
Going along behind a car. So this is what you look like if you're running now without Vaporflies. Right, there he is. All right, now imagine you've got your Vaporflies on. Go for it. Oh, it's coming at me. Speed of it. Yeah, it's incredible. That was actually quite scientific, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
So do you think I should get some before York?
I think if you did, you'd notice a big difference.
I'd win.
Yeah.
So what's your marathon PV, Paul? 2:59?
That would really change your podcast, wouldn't it? Rob won York. But I think I'm probably going to get a pair before
the weekend.
Before my next competitive marathon, definitely.
Right. Well, maybe after Christmas you'll be able to pick some up from like a basket of services.
Yeah, yeah. Nike Vaporflies. So you're feeling good and you're looking forward to it. And you went to... we've had quite a busy week, actually.
Yeah.
I went to Berlin, you went to the Palace.
Yeah, how was Berlin?
It was really good. I went with my wife, which was lovely.
He's your wife now.
He's my wife now. because the kids have all gone and we can do that.
Yeah.
So we went to Berlin, 2-day break, which amounts to one full day, really.
Yeah.
In Berlin.
Two sleeps.
Three sleeps till Christmas, if you're an insomniac. And it was... The gigs are quite tough, actually, because they weren't primarily English speakers, so you had to really slow down. The way I speak, especially with my regional accent.
Hello.
And I've made a career out of
it. I am Paul Tonkinson.
Really set up the premises, simply, but I've made a career out of speaking so fast you can't actually make out what I'm saying.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Hitting punchlines on the downbeat.
Yeah, hitting before you even think about it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I worked it out and it was good fun. I mean, and we went around Berlin. We walked around loads and loads.
So, and at the gig, was it just you or was it a mixed bill? Or
what? It was a mixed bill.
Right.
Marcel Lucan was on.
So he's all English speaking there?
Who's great, yeah, all English speaking.
Because the closest weird experience I've had to that was when I was gigging in Oslo and I was the first English speaking act on the bill.
Yes.
So it was Norwegian, Norwegian, Norwegian.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, hello, my name is Rob Deering.
I
second thoughts, I don't think I should have done that voice.
Yeah. I can imagine that being a tough one.
So Marcel Lecomte,
who's great.
Yeah, but also...
He's very Euro.
He's French.
Yes, he plays a French character, yes. Very Euro. And a great, a really good actor.
Yeah, great.
Really good fun.
Skewering Britain, I should think.
Skewering Britain, skewering... Just skewering everyone. Just skewering. Perfectly suited for a Euro crowd.
Yeah.
And then you had a local... girl from Berlin who'd been doing living, working and doing stand-up in Berlin for years.
Watching in slow motion.
As an open spot.
Yeah.
Just before me, which is exactly what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
The underdog who knows everything about the culture she's playing
yeah.
to. Absolutely storming it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now bringing the bloke who doesn't quite understand and who you don't quite
he
understand.
He doesn't know where he is. Yeah, you can't hear what he says.
He doesn't know where he
Paul Tonkinson!
You don't know. You don't understand
he's much older than her.
Yeah. Much older than her.
She's the future.
It.
He's the past.
He's the past. Here he is. Talking about things you can't relate to. So
editing is set because his wife's in the building.
So it was fairly fairly tested.
He's older than you.
He's older than you.
You like him less than her.
I know what you're thinking. What are the old middle-aged white guys thinking about? Well, here to tell you. So that was great because she was half Lebanese as well, so she had the kind of... She had that going on. She had
She's 2019.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
1971.
Pull up a chair. Here he is.
He's left his slippers backstage.
Twinkle toes, Tonks. And so that was that. And
but you didn't resent that.
No, to be honest, I didn't. It was fine. But I had to really, as I say, I slowed down and I won them. But
good
it took
challenge.
A bit of time. It took some time for them to realise this guy's just going to do routines, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like the old days. And so
listen and learn.
So that was good fun. And then, but the walking around Berlin was great. But I tell you what. Those Nazis were a tough old bunch, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Nasty.
Yeah.
Nazi.
Nazi.
People. Nazi, nasty Nazis. So,
yeah, that's right.
So there's a lot of that going on. We saw a...
It feels like it just happened, doesn't it? It's a real... It's in the air in Berlin.
Yes, it does. It got quite relentless after a while because we went to the East German Museum, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then we went to this thing that we've been told to go to by the guy who ran the gig, the topography of terror.
Oh, gosh.
Just about the rise of Nazism. And
yeah.
And by the end, it's pretty bleak, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You kind of...
You don't want too much of that stuff.
It was obviously a real downer.
Yeah. Also, some people have got that separation, haven't they? Remember when I was on tour in Germany, some of the people I was with would like up and visit... you know, someone did a long drive to go to Auschwitz once.
Right, yeah.
And also the same guy went to see where they had the Nuremberg trials.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously he just came back and said, oh, it's absolutely fascinating.
Yes, of course.
And I was just, I can't face it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't, it's going to make me miserable.
I know people went to Auschwitz recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
to
be presented with that, it's pretty tough, isn't
it? Yeah, and I feel maybe I'm cowardly, but it's certainly, there's ways of seeing it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... and it made you understand the whole... So I was chatting to him about the EU and what's happening.
Yeah.
At the moment, made me understand that kind of German-French, the idea of it as a peace thing more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're so distraught and ashamed by their past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just
And
it's
I
just
also
a
think
perspective, isn't
that
there?
People don't... that in... even at, well... Getting into the blooming day-to-day news, but I think people like you know you're kind of dreamy liberal. I'm thinking about Jeremy Corbyn here.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it should if it's a peacetime thing, then it's nothing to do with trade. But in real terms, trade and peace
they're
completely they're inextricably linked.
Completely aligned.
You've got to rebuild economies. You know the fact that Germany's economy was destroyed by the. Harsh nature of the settlements after World War One
led to
World War Two,
and
you know it all ties in with America and Japan, and you know so you can't have the peaceful product of World War Two without having a strong trade bloc, particularly in a physical part of the world where people were watching communism pan out in a not particularly ideal way.
Yes, but it was absolutely fascinating to go there to go to all, and then we went to. Went to the site of Hitler's bunker.
Right.
Which is a car park. completely underplayed it, as of course they would, yeah, which we didn't realise because we're idiots. Yeah. We just, oh, it'll be really fascinating, the bunker.
Yeah.
But of course they don't want to make a big thing of that because it would attract the wrong kind of people.
Yes.
But in a way, it's quite nice just to see it as like, it couldn't be more humdrum. It's just it's just a little. It's like that sign now of the park.
Yeah.
Saying this was Hitler's bunker.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's just like a municipal car park.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Let me just get that sign to. Oh, and someone's running up the hill there as well.
Yeah, she's going.
Running up that hill.
It's so brilliantly.
We can go up that hill if you want. I was going to go up the path. Let's go up this hill. Yeah. Let's do it.
It's so brilliantly rendered into nothing, you know.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Good. It's lovely.
Is it, the other thing about Berlin, more prosaic, but kind of connected, is it's huge and flat.
Yes, it is.
Do you get tired walking around?
It's great to walk around. Yeah, we did. I'm not boasting. We did 16,200 steps.
Well, yeah.
Because Rachel had it on a mobile.
Oh, right, nice.
Very pleasing.
I don't know what that is in real terms.
It's a lot.
I mean, it's little tiny steps though, wasn't it?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hard to sprint up, isn't it? A bit slippy. She's doing a hill rep. Slippy, muddy hill reps.
Yes, they have to.
That's a tough day at the office.
I normally got this path on our left, which is
right
hilly enough, but
yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah, it's good.
Keep it soft, keep it up.
So, yeah, but I it left me thinking, well, A, the Nazis were a real problem.
Yeah, right.
Undoubtedly, you'd have to be recognised.
Yeah, was that new news to you?
Wow, this is a big thing.
It's really opened my eyes.
Yeah. No, it was...
You clearly never watched The Sound of Music.
And we didn't see any other part of Berlin, really. We didn't see the nice part.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time on that, but next time we're there, we will.
Yeah, but there isn't any pretty old town, is there? It's not that kind of place.
No. But it made me realise as well that I really enjoyed being away with Rachel.
Yeah.
And we're going to get the chance to do that. It's quite nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, in a complete change of subject from the ruling classes of Germany, I went to Buckingham Palace the other day.
Oh!
See what I did?
I was the palace court. Enjoyed your visit to the Queen. Was it nice?
Yeah, it was good. It was really nice, actually.
Talk us through the event, then. What
it was a reception in Buckingham Palace to celebrate 50 years of Parkinson's UK.
Right.
And we were received by the Duchess of Gloucester.
Right.
I don't know. And she did a little speech.
Yeah.
Is that path closed? Let's go this way if that path's closed. Here we go. No. Yeah, good. We're going through the woods.
Into the woods.
Yeah, I've got
now,
a
spell. I'm terrible with royals. I know all the main ones.
No, you won't know who she is.
So who is she? Who's the Duchess?
I mean, it must be wonderful to be the Duchess of Gloucester because she's clearly high-end and has all the advantages. But she's not a face, so she's not going to be in the paper or anything.
Right,
you know what I mean?
It's,
she's the partner of consort of Richard, Duke of Gloucester.
Right.
Neither of whom are anyone. You know what I mean?
10,000 men. Yeah.
No, that's the Duke of York. That's Prince Andrew.
Okay, right, okay.
And he had 10,000. Yeah, men. That's right. Let's say men.
Yeah.
Can't get out. I'm going to go under this guy's fence. Here we go. Don't worry, you can get under there.
We can do
You'll be right. You get under there. He's gone over.
We can do this.
He's gone over. I'm going under. Oh, phew. That was disastrous, wasn't it?
We hit a bit of a bump in the road.
Well, we made it. Horrible noise.
So she did a little speech. Your arrival, though. What entrance did you...
Well, that was the best bit.
I love all this.
I put on some smart clothes.
Yeah.
Not even that smart, because I took my shirts. I've only got a couple of smart shirts.
Right.
Because I don't need them. And they were both off getting done.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I put on some smart clothes, and they said, just go to the front gate, and the police will show you in.
Wow.
So I had to go, like, straight to the front of Buckingham Palace, you know, where the marathon ends.
Wow.
And there's tourists all across the front taking photos.
Of course.
And then I walked up, showed a special card to, and some ID to a policeman with a gun.
Yeah.
And then walked in. And you just think that's the best bit, because everyone's looking through the fence going, where's he going? I've become important just because of that, you know.
Yeah.
And then you go through the front archway and in under those pillars. And then once you get inside, there's a huge courtyard.
Yeah.
So, of course there is, but, you know, of course, I'd never pictured that until I was there.
Yeah.
So you walk around that, have to walk around the edge, took ages, in, up the stairs, and then...
And you're greeted at the door, there's staff everywhere.
Yes, very nice, very welcoming staff. And went up to a cloakroom, because you're not supposed to take any pictures or anything. Although people did.
Yeah.
Which partly I thought, that's cheeky. And I also thought, I should have done that.
Yeah. A bit disrespectful, though, isn't it?
What?
I
should have done that.
I think if you're asked not to, but I understand the desire to do so.
Well, particularly as we were in a gallery, and it was literally a gallery because there were fantastic paintings in there.
Yes.
There was an element of the, I want to go left here, but I want to get a picture of these autumn trees.
Yes.
Actually, let's go around the triangle so that we can do it. During the Duchess of Gloucester's speech, even though it was basically about the celebration of the Parkinson's charity and everything, she did talk about poor old Buckingham Palace needing a bit of money for upgrades.
Have I got any coppers?
Yeah, we didn't.
I'll give you some change.
I don't think the assembled crowd entirely bought that.
Yeah, while we're at it,
yeah. It's like, what you want to do is sell maybe just one of these Canalettos.
She's launching an appeal.
It was cheeky.
Yeah.
So she was... is there a gate at that corner? Let's risk it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Springfield Park improvisation. She did a speech.
Yeah.
Jane Asher did a speech.
Right.
Because she's the president of the society. Used to be called a society. And then the CEO.
Right.
And then they've got a new chairman. He was really good, really fierce. And this guy, he's got Parkinson's himself, and he just felt like he was not going to mess around.
Right.
So that was the most propulsive element of the thing.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing was just hanging around drinking champagne. Or not, in my case.
Yeah. So you resisted champagne at the palace.
I did.
Wow, what a sacrifice.
It was quite something.
A sacrifice.
And Paul Mayhew Archer was there.
Yeah.
Who's lovely and, you know, an old friend now and... You know, funny guy who's done his tour of the show about having Parkinson's. And then Paul Sinner, who's now got a new show about it. It's interesting to see them both at the gig we did the other day, because they've got such interesting and different takes on it, you know?
Yes.
And Robbie Williams' wife, Ida, who's nice, is there with her mum, who's got Parkinson's.
Oh,
and Sir Anthony, who is a keen runner, who's got... quite serious Parkinson's now, but he was having a procedure. We're hoping to line up at London next year, depending on how his treatments go this winter. So he did lots of friends and things. It was interesting to be there and realise that I am a part of that community.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Of course.
Not the royal community.
Yeah.
That less so. I mean, a few jokes I've done down the years were ringing guiltily in my head.
And I've...
You'd expect high ceilings at the palace.
Yeah.
Lots of high ceilings.
Yeah, there's like a, it was like a long room.
Yeah.
With this curved glass ceiling. It was just like when I told my wife about it, she imagined it being really echoey.
Yeah.
Almost semi-outside space. It wasn't like that. It was quite cosy.
Right.
Carpet and lovely paintings, you know, all up the walls.
Did you get the feeling that they put the heating on?
I think they do, yeah.
Yeah.
But they really need to replace that heating.
Right.
So if there's any way you can help.
Yeah, yeah. We've really had problems with the heating this winter. If you could spare a few.
She did say they haven't replaced all like, the parts and things since the 50s. I was like, that's not even that long ago! They were going to say the 1700s!
What an evening.
Yeah, that was something.
What an experience.
And then they had an AGM at the weekend, and then it was Shaped with Laughter on Monday, and you were there. That was good, wasn't it? Good scene.
I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed it. I was coming off a bit of a three-bottle Sunday with what? Rachel, shared.
Yeah.
Shared.
So I thought you just said no to the biscuits now.
I didn't quite have two bottles.
Yeah.
But we had a lot.
Yeah.
But I'd had a little run, and by the time the gig came around, I was feeling fairly fruity. I enjoyed it, and it was a really nice crowd, wasn't it?
Not fruity like last week.
No, not as nowhere near as fruity as that. But I, what a nice gig full of really nice people. Because sometimes I can be a bit worthy charity crowds.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
are a little bit sniffy. Or
I think we've always
people
tried
from
to
all around the country, wasn't there?
That's right. I think we've always tried to make that gig as much of a funny comedy gig as possible.
Yeah.
And then the Parkinson's community is kind of just woven through it.
Yeah.
And that just and in the end, that just means that you get exactly what all those gigs want to be, which is a fundraiser, and also an awareness raiser and a good laugh.
They want to have a bigger laugh.
And you get all of it. It all comes at once.
Yes. No, it was really nice. Ably hosted by your good self.
Oh yeah, thanks.
And I met some really nice people afterwards as well.
Yeah.
Really friendly. Yeah, it was good fun.
Just stay straight up and just run in. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be okay. Bing!
There's a puddle and a tunnel.
Puddle and a tunnel.
A puddle and a tunnel.
It's a stoop comedian running through a tunnel full of puddles over.
Coming through the tunnel with a bit of a puddle.
Troll-like effect.
Seem to be struggling with a fairly rudimentary situation.
A couple of billy goats on top of the bridge.
Being a bit hysterical for no apparent reason.
Trot.
Into Coppermill Fields.
Yes.
I'm really enjoying today's run, actually. I'm glad I took the night off yesterday. I feel better.
Yeah.
Because of it. So we need to...
This Virginia creeper here. Fantastic. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, that is gorgeous.
We need to...
We need to talk about York.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what stage I'm at now? And it's really kind of dull, but kind of fun. And probably useful. I need to pick up... I need to get all my stuff together. Thinking...
What do you mean?
Gels.
Right, yeah.
I'm thinking... I remembered... yesterday that I'm wearing that blooming hydration vest.
Yeah.
Which after trying it out a couple of weeks ago, I'd forgotten all about.
Right.
Vaseline.
Yeah.
Plasters.
Yes.
Got to cut my toenails.
Yes.
All this kind
all
of
all that
thing.
Kind of fun stuff.
Got to pick up a pair of vapor flies.
Yeah.
Steal them.
Yeah. Oh, got to break into the Nike offices.
Got to tweet.
Steal their special papers about performance and drugs.
Oh, do you think that's the way I should do it? Work out how they do the vapor flies and try and do it at home to my
I've made
own
me
shoes.
Own vapor flies. You put a bit of spring on heel.
I got Cornwall and gaffer.
I got a bit of gaffer tape, but I put it on my ears for a streamline effect.
I got a big spring out back of chuck.
I smothered my testicles in carpet for that smooth effect.
I'm so streamlined. Yeah. I've got a cape. Yeah. It's 13 feet long.
I covered myself in baby's bottom butter and I just slid out way.
Yeah, so that's the
so
important
that.
Stuff.
Yeah. That's quite fun though, isn't it? Because you realise that you're getting ready for an event, isn't it?
Yeah. And I am
nice.
That guy. I mean, I do that. When I'm going out to work or settling into a hotel room, you know?
Yeah.
The concept of a flat lay, though we've kind of skewered it, sometimes it just really appeals to me.
Yes, yeah.
I get that.
And you've done, and you've you've done the training.
I think I have, you know. Yeah. I think that the, put simply, my year went, I started from quite a good place.
Yeah.
And I trained hard for maybe 5-6 months. Then I kind of lost it a bit, but absolutely crucially, looking back from like September, I kept the miles up.
Yeah.
So it was actually quite galvanizing because A, I'd done that, and B, that gave me a kind of enough of a fillip to go, get back on it.
Yeah.
So I've actually been training. There's been a lot of exercises and pace and making sure I was doing enough.
Yeah.
In the last kind of month. And then just getting to the point now, I mean, that feeling like that monument, like that park run at that moment couldn't have been more timely.
Yeah, it's really,
you know,
nice
to feel like I've, you know, that's a badge, a certificate, yep, that I'm accessing fitness I had, yes, yeah, in May, yeah, that I'd lost, you know. So, and going right back, it's interesting, actually, I didn't think of this, but do you remember that we started, that's brilliant, that train, we started this year with a turn around Hackney Marshes.
Right.
Talking about, oh, where we were going to go and what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, it just gives a little insight into what years are like, because neither of us could have, you know, between,
yeah,
hernias, bereavement and accidents on the way to public toilets, it's been an incredible year.
Yeah, yeah. It's had its exciting moments. But, I mean, this year you've done 2 marathons, haven't you?
Yes, that's right.
Half marathons.
2 marathons, at neither of them at pace, interestingly.
Yes.
I mean, I suppose in the summer I was planning to, but I certainly didn't access
it
in the slightest.
But that ended up being a real solitary kind of...
Yeah.
Quite a tough experience, but it was good for training purposes.
Yeah. That one that went around the other day, there, funny enough, Grim Up North Running are, yeah, doing another event called Parky Up North Running.
Right.
Which is a clever thing because Parky is cold, right?
Right, yeah.
And it's in January.
Yeah.
But it's also all for Parkinson's.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, which makes me think that we should look into doing it.
Yeah, we should.
And I had a look at it, and it basically, it is the winter version of exactly what I did. It'll be in the same place.
Right.
But there'll be, you know, we so well looked after, there'll be pies and cakes at the end.
We should do, yeah. We should, and what date is that?
You can't get Lyme disease,
yeah,
in winter.
No.
It's January the 25th.
Okay.
And it's got all the distances. You know, you can, right, do 5K, 10K, 10 mile, half marathon, 20 mile marathon or ultra. It's interesting, isn't it?
Because we might be doing something at the National Running Awards that day.
Yes, that's that day, isn't it?
Is it, yeah.
Oh, then we can't do it.
We can't do it.
Yes!
We can't run a marathon.
I mean, oh no.
We can't run a marathon up north and then jog down for a corporate that night.
Well, we need to look at those next
year.
Because I met some of those people from the National Running Awards.
Yeah.
Another awards I was at the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely. We were talking about that, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And so that means, listeners, that's true, we can't do it. And so you've got to get on it. You've got to get back. Now I come to think of it, my experience in Leeds was nothing but joy.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that it was summer.
Yeah.
So in January,
it'll be really nice.
Perfection personified.
Yeah.
Get down there. Seriously, it's such a good scene. Such nice people and a completely different experience.
Yeah.
If you've done any big city marathon and you want to do another marathon, that's nothing like
opposite.
That. Yeah. I can, yeah, I really can recommend it. But yeah, also potential to do Shrewsbury Half Marathon.
Right.
Limassol Marathon.
Yeah.
We've got to talk.
No, we will do.
Basically, this going away with your wife and stuff, cancel that. All you're doing in your waking hours next, yeah, year is miles with, yeah, Deering.
So, you've done some training. You're getting a bit sharpish.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I mean, the real question is,
on the doors.
How fast am I these days?
Yes.
You know?
That is the real question.
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
I've got fast enough now that when I go out for a trot, I feel like I'm going slow. You know, it's not a pace run at all.
Yeah.
And I'm averaging 8:30, 8:50 miles.
Right, yeah.
Which feels really fast in the modern era.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I'd have just been flat out.
Yes.
Doing, yeah, 7:30 miles.
Yes, because that's how you ran all the
that's
time.
That's how I used to run. So from one perspective, it's fast, and from another, it's slow. This time last year, I was pretty well ready. I'd been training pretty hard. I ran all the way, which was a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
And got 3:32.
Yes.
I think, realistically, whatever happens, it won't be much different to that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think anything under 3:30 would be great.
That's right. And I think, you know, in my life, I've been to that very run and gone, oh my goodness, 3:20, 3:15, and been totally surprised by that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's realistic to expect that in this era, apart from the fact I didn't even expect it then.
Yeah.
I think that my average over the years is kind of 3:35.
Right.
So 3:32 sits right in the middle. I see the goal would be to break 3:30.
Yeah.
And absolutely a huge silver, you know, I'd be very satisfied to just do it faster than last year.
Yes, absolutely.
Which would be anything faster than 3:32. And it was nearly 3:33, wasn't it? I think it was 3:32:55 or something like that. And then if I'm under 3:35, then I'm fit enough for me.
So you're in that, you've set quite a narrow window there.
A narrow is better, isn't it?
Really narrow.
I mean, we'll also see.
Yeah.
I'll get out there and see. But it's a nippy old marathon. I'd be disappointed if I completely blow out. Yeah. What was Canal Canter 3:47? I wouldn't be happy with that.
Well, that was a...
I'd like to think that had difficulties I won't have.
Yeah, definitely. Just the crowds and the training. Congrats to old, ever young Sophie Rayworth.
Oh, yeah, 3 minutes off of PB. And this is
35 half marathon.
And this is someone who runs a lot of fast half marathons anyway. That was a huge PB.
Yeah,
lovely Royal Parks. That's another one we have to do next year. I was sorry not to do it because for once, it wasn't on the same day as the Yorkshire Marathon. I've done it lots of times, but a long time ago.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
So, that's good warm-up for New York. Because it's 3 weeks before, something like. So that'd be all right, half at that point, wouldn't it?
She's in good shape. And so when are you going up to York? Are you going
I'm only there for 24 hours.
Right, okay.
But I'm going to pop in and try and get Richard Herring to come on the podcast on Saturday night.
Right, okay.
And then I'm going to go and quickly run the marathon, come home and watch Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban on Sunday afternoon.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's a very exciting
time.
That's
a nice day, isn't it? Something to look forward to.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? You've done that marathon. You've seen me go. What do you think?
I think that if you rest up, I think you can beat 3:30.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, possibly somewhere around 3:25.
Right.
Maybe. Because it's a nice course.
Yeah.
You've got a bit of tempo. You should have a lot of strength with all the running you've done this year.
Yeah, which is good for the hold, isn't it?
It's
a hard one to pin down.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, 3:30 for a marathon, it's not hanging around, is it? It's 2 1:45 half marathons back to back.
Yes.
That's not easy running, is it?
No.
You know, it's like, it's a real achievement.
But I've done, I did a 1:33 half marathon and a 1:39 half marathon this year. They weren't back to back. They were several months apart.
Yes,
Do you think that affects that?
No,
that's a slightly different experience, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's that thing of getting to 20, seeing how you feel and trying to keep your head in the game.
Yeah. And let's review the route. You set off down the hill into the city. I'm going to be working hard not to be going too fast.
Yes.
But I'm also going to be setting a good pace.
Going a little bit too fast.
I'll be behind someone who I'll be perceiving as weak and old.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll see them from the front later and realise they're one of the fittest young men I've ever seen. If previous experience is anything to go by. And then,
because it's not too crowded, the York Marathon, is it?
No, you can settle into your space.
Yeah.
And it's mainly a run on lanes in the country.
Yes.
Which is lovely. In fact,
it really is nice.
The way you collect up the first half is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you go through town, just when your head needs to kind of focus in, you've got York to go through and look at.
Yeah.
And then you're out going through the villages. Still lots of support, loads of waivers and supporters. And then, yeah, it wiggles through the lanes. No particular hills. Although there is a hill that goes up to a village and comes down out of it, it's to be remembered. And then you sort of turn back a bit at 10 miles. And then right at the sort of top of a little rise in the middle of nowhere, you hit the halfway point.
Yeah. You've got that bit where it turns back.
And just after that, you hit the A road.
Yeah.
Turn left onto it. Go down it for maybe, a mile or so, maybe even less.
Yeah.
And then turn back on yourself. So you get a real
That's the
state of the state of the union situation there.
I think that's the bit that's constantly underestimated in the marathon, isn't it? That the stage from like 14 to 18.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're nowhere near the end, but you're starting to get pretty tired.
Yep.
And it can be quite a, yeah. It's quite a tough section of the race, that one, isn't
when
it?
When it comes down to it, you run a half marathon, yeah, and probably pretty much at the same pace you would run a half marathon.
Run a half marathon. Yeah. You're well into the hard yards, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're doing
yeah.
a solid morning's work, and it's only going to get harder.
And there's some serious fierce runners up there, so what I've noticed is good to be ready for. If you come around that little hairpin at 14, lots of people overtaken because yeah. they're playing for the negative split.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
they've suddenly started going faster. I mean, I suppose I could try and do that, but it's really not in my nature.
No.
And
no.
equally, good
really
negative splitters and bad negative splitters. There's people there you'll never see again.
Yeah.
And there's people there you're going to...
Who'll blow up at 21.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one to be ready for.
Yes, yeah, psychologically.
And
it, yeah.
again, it's, there's no fun. Here's a question, right, before we talk about this more. Should we go straight on between the goals around
okay.
the edge?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
What do you think?
Go through the goals, I like it.
That one, this gap ahead of us. It's fantastic. How far do you think we've gone so far?
Don't know, about five-ish.
Yeah, 4.65, so okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
We'll be on about five when we get back.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
We're back in Hackney Marshes going, and we're going to take this avenue of goals, which is nice. So, yeah, that's the great thing about Yorkshire, I think, realising that after doing it lots of times. It's the very worst bit is that A64.
Yeah.
You're on it for quite a while, but it really parcels up the hard bit.
Yeah.
It puts it in a little box and says, here it is.
Yeah.
You know, you've done half of it. You're not at the end.
Yeah.
What you've got to do now is get your head down.
Get your head down,
and
yeah.
run on this main road for, what is it, for about 6 miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's where all the hardship is.
Yeah, yeah. That's the bulk of it right there, isn't it?
Yeah, when me and the family did Helvellyn in the spring,
yeah,
it was the longest walk we'd done that holiday. It didn't feel that long because Helvellyn's got a kind of base camp.
Right.
You walk all day to get to a place called the Hole in the Wall.
Yeah.
And then you're at the foot of the mountain and you go around it like a loop
right.
back to that point. And breaking it up in that way, it's really useful psychologically.
Yeah.
It just felt like a shorter walk.
Yes.
Despite the fact it's the longest walk in the biggest mountain, because it kind of snapped it off the first and fourth quarters
yeah.
and put focus on the task at hand in the middle. I think that's a really healthy way to chew on something like that. Do
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in previous years, you turn around, you climb up, I think it's the last, from 8.5 miles to 20 is a slight uphill. And also you're running away
yeah.
from York. Before you turn off into the villages again. And that's the tough, that's always the bit
yeah.
where I'm thinking, keep on going, come on mate, you know, do this, do that. I wrestle with myself at that time.
There's a little bit of downhill near the end, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Before, of course,
the very
end. The tight little hill at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's classic Yorkshire finish.
It's so close to
the end.
How are you not there? He's just over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Just that crazily steep hill right end.
I've employed a 15-year-old lad. Once I've beaten that hill and kept running, yeah. I've employed him to go like this at the end.
Yeah. It is.
I know you from the park runs!
I don't know whether you find the same, or maybe it's just me because I'm from there, but I do find it very friendly, the Yorkshire.
It is friendly.
The York Marathon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Afterwards, just the chatting with people, just
it's
really
a good scene.
Sweet people, yeah.
Well, I think Tony Audenshaw's going to be there, and he's the nicest man in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, he's.
So,
there.
You know, I mean.
Tony Audenshaw.
Tony Audenshaw.
What's he ready for, Tony Audenshaw?
So you think I should heckle him, yeah? Our friend, the nicest man in the world.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, heckle him. Actually, I think he's running. He wasn't running last year, was he? He was announced. Or was he running? He was running.
I
can't remember.
He's always fit, isn't he?
I look forward to seeing him anyway. And yeah, I mean, last year it was all lights are green, all systems are go. Public service broadcasting is still superb music to be listening to.
Right.
I had that moment around 21 where I kind of had a nap. But didn't stop.
Right.
But again, like
that's
anything.
That's a new tactic, isn't it? Sleeping while
sleeping
running.
While you're going.
Yeah.
I don't think you can plan for that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, if it was some kind of episode, I don't think it's healthy to try and do it again. Don't know how many more of those I've got in me.
Sleep, wake up, man.
I don't think. Here's an interesting one. I think I've only realised, oh, I think we'd be fine going across here. Oh, oh no! Just tripped over
Hazard.
A log.
Major.
On Hackney Marshes. I don't know how many acres Hackney Marshes is, but...
Discovery of a disembodied log. Yeah, left in the middle of Hackney Marshes.
So trip hazard. It appears to be...
Very much a trip hazard.
Fashioned of wood.
Possible weapon.
We were cordoned off the area and... controlled explosion.
Controlled explosion needed.
Blowing the log on three.
2-1. Doesn't seem to be working over. Do not approach the log. Over.
Maybe what we need to do is stack the log with some other logs in the receptacle and perhaps
raise all the trees to the ground in Hackney Marshes. Over.
controlled fire on November the 5th. Remember that date, please. Remember that date. Over. I don't think I realised until last year. Or... I kept finding out and forgetting. And this is really key. It's so hard to run when you can see where you're going. You know, for any kind of distance.
Yeah.
There's a bit on the Yorkshire Marathon around 21, 22 miles where you can see the lane going and it curves to the right and the left and you can see the field right out ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Yeah.
Knowing you've got to do that.
Yeah.
It's like my run in Swansea the other day. There's the next 4 miles, or First Avenue in New York.
You don't like that.
There's the next hour of your life.
You like the... Well, I don't mind it, because it helps me... It helps me find my rhythm.
I think psychologically, you're a stronger runner than most of us. Well, that's seeing the magnitude of the task at hand does not give you any fear.
Yeah,
how many dogs here? There's a dozen over there and a dozen over here.
Completely
dogs and logs, over. Dr. Seuss has scripted Hackney Marshes today. Dogs and logs and chicks with cocks.
look at this mayhem.
Ah, not you.
Yeah, I think in many ways I'm a bit more like Kipchoge.
Yeah.
Because he likes a long flat run, doesn't he?
Yeah. But you joke, and I don't think that's a joke. I think that is. I think you do have that mindset. Jesus. Go away.
But there's no reason why you should have it, because you can do the miles.
I think
it's just the rhythm thing, isn't it? It's
getting yeah.
it, does it psychologically just mess you up a little bit?
Yeah, and I don't like to look straight at it. And it's not just running. I mean, that sounds kind of cowardly, but I kind of don't want to know. Do you know what I mean?
That's fair enough,
yeah. It's the same way I don't wear a watch. I'm trying to get into a meditative space.
Right.
So giving the front this problem-solving front part of my brain a clear idea of the task at hand.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I'm strong enough for that. But now I've identified it as a problem.
Right.
It makes it easier to dismiss.
Yeah.
But yeah, I prefer a new turn every half mile or mile.
Yeah, turns are good for... I like turns for little races because they're an opportunity to get away from people.
Yeah.
Because you speed out of the turn and then they turn the corner and it's like, oh my God, I didn't realise he was that far ahead.
Yeah.
It's a good way of getting a psychological little boost.
Yeah, that's true.
So listen, that was really good fun.
It's about really
five.
Nice.
Perfect for tapering for you in the last
5.25. I did 5.5 the other day. So I've done more than 10 miles this week. Yeah, if I don't want to run any more, I'll probably go for a little sweetener on Friday. But if
Friday,
I don't,
yeah.
that'll be fine too. Yeah. Listen to my knees.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, mate.
And not that. That's I'm doing that. I know we always do the don't reverse, but Hackney Tennis Centre is not the picture I wanted. That's where they swipe the barcodes, isn't it, after the park run?
Yeah.
By the way, park runs. Hey, I've done...
How many have you done that?
I think I've done 48.
Oh, close, isn't
good,
it?
Isn't it? And also, here's one. This is worth saying out loud.
Yeah.
I always thought of... going sub 20.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Marshall. Thank you, all Marshalls.
Yeah.
I thought going sub 20 was like an elusive dream I'd done by accident once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
I think I've done it 5 times.
Well, there we go.
That's not an elusive, crazy dream, is it? That's part of the story of my running.
That's part of your reality, yeah.
So that makes it feel much more possible that I could access it again.
I think you could, yeah. I think having a rest before you do it, not running 10 miles to it, means you're a bit fresher when you do it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. All right, Mr. Science, coming at me with your information.
Mr. Fly guy.
So, yeah, let's drive down to the running store and you keep the engine running and just nip in.
Run comes.
Woo, woo, woo!
Seem to be stealing the vaporflies, have
I? It's obvious to us. The cameras make a good episode, but then the podcast is going to end when the prison time begins. Hey, listen, this you'll hear this before I go to York, so look out for me on York, look me up. And thanks to everyone who came to Shape with Laughs for Parkinson's. You come Monday. If you want to sponsor me, you can.
Send your PBs in. We're getting some PBs.
Yeah, we've got some more classic PBs. Well done on all the ones we've heard of in recent days. So we'll do some more of those next time.
Week, yeah.
And also, talking to next week, I am planning hopefully to be at the Whammy Park Run in Newcastle-under-Lyme on the 26th.
I read the Whammy.
So, see you at the Whammy. I won't be getting sub-20 then because I'll be limping around after the marathon.
A bit of a trot.
And tell us what you're up to, because this season, we're mid-season now, aren't we? It's all happening.
Yeah, it's starting.
It's going to wind up for Christmas, but there's all kinds of exciting ones.
Totally, yeah.
People having good and bad stories.
I'm hoping to be here on Saturday doing the park run, and that should be okay, because I'm in London doing gigs. So.
Okay, so that's Paul at the Hackney Park Run on Saturday the 19th.
Yes. Come and say hello if you see me.
And,
but not while running, because I'm
happy running. Happy if you, whether you're running around the park, running a marathon, a half marathon, running the park run, or running for a blooming bus. Happy running.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.